The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Ryanair aims to cut its COVID losses with a bumper summer season after what could be an almost 1 billion euro loss over the last financial year because of COVID-19. Ryanair CEO Eddie Wilson is on the line now. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the losses, just talk to me a little bit about the losses first, because enormous though they may seem, are they available to be written off against future profits? So the hurt won't be too bad.
I think up to 950 million is a lot of money, no matter who you are. I mean, you've got to look forward. All the airlines have been affected, some worse than others. Some have gone out of business, some have got state supports. But it's about recovery. And, you know, us, Ryanair, being well capitalized over the last number of years will help us through that. And we are with vaccinations on the way, particularly in, you look at countries like Denmark, you look at the UK, and you're at levels now where people, I think, will be returning to travel on the basis that the most vulnerable have been protected. And I think that's where the confidence is going to come back from. But I think it's going to come back in short-haul travel first before it comes back in long-haul.
Yeah. Just to get the breaking news, I suppose, Ryanair has announced it's returning to Belfast City Airport after, 11 years?
Yeah. So we're launching 8 routes out of Belfast for the summer to Spain, Italy, and also Portugal. And I mean, that's a sign that you've got 35% of the population in Northern Ireland now vaccinated, and they're going to have everybody done by the start of the summer. And that's the exit out of this in terms of international travel. I think sometimes we have concentrated on it way too much, and the numbers don't stack up in terms of some of the sort of comment that we've had in relation to international travel. You have to have a roadmap out of this, and vaccination levels are the way to go.
Yeah. Now, the so-called vaccine passport, the green pass they have in Israel, you can go to a theatre or a gym if you've got your 2 shots. That's how they're working it. But Ursula von der Leyen is talking about some sort of European arrangement. Europe tends to be a bit sluggish in getting things moving. Have you any confidence there'll be such a universally recognised passport in time for your summer season?
I think what will happen is that, I mean, certainly people's ability to display that they've been vaccinated or they've had a PCR test is something that we would support. I think the idea that we would have a passport ready to go and have, in the context of the European Union, for example, 27 countries jumping at the same time to put in a new passport system is probably unrealistic. But certainly, for example, this week we've put out on our app, you're able to sort of scan in your PCR test or vaccination cert or whatever, so that when it comes to presenting these documents, that everyone isn't fuddling around with pieces of paper. And if there's a way, and I think that'll be the way. I mean, you've seen certain countries last summer were able to put in QR codes in advance, and that sort of stopped the queues at passport control. So I think there'll be some form. I don't think it'll be a fully fledged passport system. Just because you won't have the time to do it, and you'll want to be able to free up movement. But I think if you can make it convenient for people who've had vaccinations or PCR tests to present for the various different countries, I think that'll be something that we would support.
Yeah. The problem, I suppose, would be trying to make such a thing fraud-proof. I mean, any kid with a computer now will create a false ID to get into a pub or a nightclub while they're still underage. So, you've got to have some bona fides about these things.
Of course it is. And I mean, even a normal passport, you have people that are traveling on false documents as well, or making false declarations. You know, there's only so much that you can do. But if you get the population, it's about what the outcomes here are. Is COVID-19 going to continue to have adverse outcomes in terms of hospitalizations, ICU and deaths? And the way out of that is to really concentrate on things like on vaccinations rather than sideshows like quarantines in hotels from red countries that we've no connections with, that nobody's ever going to show up in any of these hotels, you know. And you can't do that with a 300-mile open frontier with Northern Ireland in any event. So I think we concentrate too much on these things that have no material effect, because nobody travels from most of the countries that they're talking about for red countries, and we certainly don't have any direct flights from there, not just Ryanair, but any of the other airlines that fly into Ireland.
Now, what about the bilaterals? You know, the talk of the Greeks, you know, just thirsting to get their tourist industry up and running again, and making, you know, if you're vaccinated, come on in. Are there likely to be bilaterals, and, you know, will there be a very uneven picture right across Europe in terms of which countries are open and which are not?
I mean, we've said this all along. I mean, you are not going to, the pressure that's going to come on the Spanish, Greek, Portuguese economies for a second summer. You know, you look in Spain, for example, youth unemployment at the moment is running at 40% plus. They depend so much on tourism, and they really want to welcome people in a safe way from Northern Europe. But I think the European Union have got to learn from last year that, look, if there are red countries outside of the European Union, maybe that's the way to do it. But we've got to get back to some form of freedom of movement. And the only way to do that is to get everybody vaccinated, so that you don't have, even if you have transmission, that you're not going to clog up the hospitals, or people are not those vulnerable are not going to die from it. So that's what we've got to concentrate on, rather than, you know, will we have a passport in this country or not? Get everybody vaccinated. Let's get movement again, and then we've got less adverse outcomes.
Now, there'll be people saying, look, for health reasons or whatever, I cannot get the vaccine. What then? I mean, the PCR test, it's really only valid for the time you've had it. You have it on a Thursday. Mm. You could pick up a virus on a Friday and end up sick on a Saturday. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think we're waiting for some, you know, if you listen to some of the commentary, that we've got to wait for some nirvana when it'll be gone forever. It's not going to be gone, because, you know, we are going to continue to have outbreaks of this for years to come, if you listen to the immunologists, and that's going to continue. So what you can do, you can only do your best to protect yourself, which is that at some stage the economies have to return to some level of normality, protect the most vulnerable, get the vaccines out and get things moving again. You know, with this idea that you're going to get to a point whereby there's going to be no exceptions, or COVID is gone forever, that simply isn't going to happen. I think people need to be realistic about that.
Now, there are all sorts of plans that airlines have to put in place to get moving, to get a schedule like your busy summer schedule up and running. You're talking about 70% perhaps of your schedule. What does that mean in terms of flights that might be pulled, consolidation of flights, because people may be concerned if every flight is packed to the gills?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing is to get people to start booking for when restrictions are lifted. Again, Ireland is a small proportion of what we do. It's sort of around 8% of our traffic throughout Europe. And we have the ability for our passengers to change their flights with no change fees, where they can make, they can change them. And if their plans change, they can change their flights. So it's going to be difficult to get this back traveling, or to get people, I suppose, to get that confidence. The confidence has got to come from, am I going to be able to go on my flight? When I get on board, what are the health measures that are in place? And we went through this last year, whereby, you know, all the experts say that on an aircraft with, you know, the HEPA filtering systems and all the extra provisions that are put in place, that it is extremely safe. It's probably safer than going to your local shopping centre. But you're quite right. It's going to take a while to get schedules back up and running. But people should be able to book. But they need a clear guideline from the government that says, if we get to a certain level of vaccinations, if we get to a certain level of infection rates, well, then we're going to list, then we're going to lift
so,
the
restrictions. That's what you want. You don't want to say a particular date, because we're all, the mantra now is we want data, not dates, because dates can move, can slide, depending on the availability of vaccines, depending on new variants and all the rest of it. But you want the master plan. If we hit this level of infection, we open up. If we hit this level of vaccination, we open up.
Because, you know, other than that, we're never going to be able to give people the confidence to make commitments. And what we risk doing, if we go down that path, is exactly what happened last summer, which was that other countries opened up, and we'll have a hodgepodge approach to it. And it's going to be particularly relevant for Ireland. We have 325,000 people who depend for their livelihoods on inbound tourism. And at some stage, they need to know, if we get to a certain vaccination level, if we get to a certain level of infection, well, then that is the sort of starting flag. But this idea that we'll see, quite frankly, isn't good enough.
Now, one of the issues, though, Eddie, is that it was diagnosed by the scientists and the epidemiologists that what we had in the autumn was the virus from Spain. People went on their holidays to Spain. We're not saying they caught it on a plane, but they caught it in Spain and they brought it back here. And the same for the UK. The big bulk of infection in the UK had a Spanish origin.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look even at the HSE website, it says that, like, for example, of the 14,000 cases or the 11,000 cases in the last 14 days, 9 of them were imported cases. We are going to live, the idea that we have, you're as likely to have a variant or mutation in Kent as you are in Kanturk. You know, this idea that it's always in some other country. We live in an integrated economy within Europe, and at some stage, when we open up, we're going to continue to have those challenges and problems. And the idea that we can just sit here and throw stones and say it's somewhere else and we've got to keep it out isn't sustainable in the long term. You know, and you've seen that in the likes of New Zealand, for example, where no matter what they do, even though they're 1,500 miles from any other landmass, it still keeps coming back. The only way to do that is, is vaccinations, so that you don't have those adverse outcomes and get back to some level of normality.
Now, here's, if you like, the elephant in the room, and one of the News Talk texters says, kids at the moment cannot be vaccinated because they haven't done the studies, and we don't know when they will be vaccinated. So the vaccination passport discriminates against families who want to go on a foreign holiday together. Also, if I'm last on the list to be vaccinated, am I not being discriminated against, as I don't have the option to get vaccinated in time for my holiday? I think it's a good idea once everyone has been offered a vaccine, but otherwise it's discriminatory against those who have not had the option to be vaccinated. Now, the point is quite clear, but fundamentally for Ryanair, much of your summer business is family business, whereas your shoulder business might be couples and so on, adults who've been vaccinated or otherwise, but that's your business. Summer is families, kids.
Yeah, which is why I said at the outset here, we don't actually support, a hard vaccine passport, because it's not going to be possible to implement and they won't get agreement. I think what you've got to do is that if you've got a level of vaccination, and we all know that the kids are back at school at the moment, so they are in a much lower risk group. And what happens then is that if people get to a certain vaccination level, then you're not going to have the outcomes for, the elderly or those with underlying health conditions. So, the texter is quite right. I mean, that's the problem about putting in a sort of a hard rule on vaccination passports. And you have the whole issue of freedom of movement within Europe. What you've got to do is vaccinate all the groups that you can. And then you don't have the adverse outcomes. And that means that kids can go on holidays with their parents, of course.
Yeah. A couple of other things. Could you please ask Eddie to get his own house in order, pay my refund due from cancelled flights from last March? I'm constantly requesting refund, but no reply.
Can I just say that? Can I like just ask it? Like I've had this before, right? We have paid out over 1.5 billion. I just asked that texter if they look at the retargeted email that they got. There is a link on that email, and in one of the last radio programs that I was on, I asked for those details, and they came in and got an apology from them as well. Was that 12 of the came in? People hadn't accessed the email, so please go back and look at the email. You will be able to click through on that, and you will get your money back within 7 days.
Any chance of ever allowing small pets on board in the cabin? Breaks my heart, says this texter, leaving my chihuahua at home when I go away. And this is the good bit for you. I would pay any amount to bring him.
I'll take that straight to the commercial team afterwards, Pat.
All right. The final thing is a technical one. I saw there that Ryanair is signing up to this search for sustainable aviation fuels. What's that all about?
Well, sustainable aviation fuels is where they take sources from, you know, things like vegetable oils or whatever that are not taken out of the ground and come from, you know, the cycle of reusable components in terms of making up the fuel, and they're additives that will go into that fuel, so that you have less of the oil that would have come out of the ground, and over time that you'll be able to, up the processing capacity, so that you gradually replace oil that is extracted from oil wells and supplemented with reusable fuels and blended in that fashion. So, you know, we're all some way away from making that a significant impact on the environment in terms of the amount of fuel that we use that is taken out of wells. But like we've signed up for it, and I think it'll start small, but I think as time goes on, much of that we will see science move on, where we'll have a much better mix of sustainable fuels.
Eddie Wilson, Ryanair CEO, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Well, now.